Wednesday. We're going to finish up our study on spiritual gifts. And today we're going to look at the last lesson. And there's certainly more to study here. But look at our last lesson, number 6, which is discovering your spiritual gift. I want to preface this by saying we got to be careful not to overthink this. And we need to be very careful to simply let ourselves be guided by the Scripture. And there's a caution to, make this more than what it is. And but I do think it's important. I believe God does not want us to be ignorant. We know that Paul desired that the believers in Corinth were not ignorant of these spiritual things. And so I believe that the Lord doesn't want us to be ignorant of these things. So let's consider some things this evening, and we'll start in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I want to, can you hear me one of those, please? I want to start with just some initial thoughts or considerations. As you think about discovering your spiritual gift, we believe there are 7, at least from what I can tell. And it seems as if the Lord gives us one, at least one. And so how do I discover my spiritual gift? And we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I believe, number one, the Lord does not want us or believers to be ignorant. Paul did not want the believers in Corinth to be ignorant about spiritual things. And so we'll look at that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 1 through 6. Paul writes, he says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost." So what is Paul saying here? He's saying, right, something spiritual has happened in your life. When you were Gentiles, you were carried away with dumb idols in your ignorance. And we know that because of the Spirit of God, it changes how man views and thinks about Jesus Christ. And that if someone were to stand up and call Jesus accursed, right, to blaspheme him, they do not have the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit gives us the understanding and the knowledge we require to properly understand His Word and to know Jesus or God in the person of Jesus Christ. In verse number 4, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all." I believe that the spiritual gifts are part of our sanctification, our being set apart to God. He wants us to know, number 2, He desires that believers should know how they fit into their church. What role, what place of administration, how does God want to use my gift? And let's go, if you would, to a couple scriptures. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. And we'll be turning to a number of scriptures this afternoon. If you want to mark them down on your notes, you're welcome to do that. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm sorry I didn't put these down. I should have put them on the notes. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10. Peter writes, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards," as what? "Good stewards of the manifold grace of God." Right? So the desire here is God wants us as believers to know, how am I to use my gift that He has given me through His grace in the service of His church? And Peter's writing there to the believers. Romans chapter 12. We're exhorted to what? Submit ourselves to our bodies as a living sacrifice. Right? Present our bodies a living sacrifice, rather. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then he goes on and he says, he gives a caution against proud thinking. He says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly," right? To have a serious mindedness about ourselves, to view ourselves or strive by the grace of God to view ourselves in the same light that God views us, right? To not imagine things, right? He goes on, he says this, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then, right, understanding this to be our state, that we are, right, exhorted to deliver or to present our bodies a living sacrifice, committed to God, having our minds transformed, not conforming ourselves to the world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind, and recognizing our proper role, that God has placed us in a church, not to think more highly than we ought to think, that we are members of one body to work together for the grace of God, and then we have been given gifts differing according to the grace, right? This undeserved favor. God, when we are saved, presents us a gift to use in this service, in this place, as a part of the body. And so we see this analogy, right, being drawn between the church and the physical body, and that every member, I believe, has a individual, important, specialized task, and no member, get this, no member is unimportant. No member is unimportant. Paul talks about that in the book of 1 Corinthians when he says, right, it is the most uncomely members that should receive more honor. Right? The uncomely members, and the word comely is the idea, right? The word comely is attractive or fitting. Uncomely is that doesn't fit. And it is those members of the church that don't seem really to fit, right, that we look to with more honor. Right? That God has placed them in our body for a reason. Number three, I believe God wants us to, as believers, to discover and develop this gift so that it edifies our local church. As we discover our spiritual gift, we know who we are in that way. We know we are through Christ, right? But how we fit into our local church. We know how others will respond and fit in, how we can help others, and how others may help us accomplish God's will in our church. And God, I believe, wants us to know these spiritual gifts. Number two, let's think about some steps. How does one discover their spiritual gift? You say, Pastor, I'm ready for the test. All right? I don't see that we're supposed to take a test in the Bible. All right? You say, well, that's just pragmatic. Yeah, I think it is. The idea of taking a test. So how does God want us to know the Scriptures? Well, our spiritual gifts. Number one, He wants us to search the Scripture. Search the Scripture. God's Word being the divine authority, the knowledge book of His revelation about spiritual gifts. You know what? You've got to understand these key passages, interpret them, and understand them for yourself. You say, well, I don't quite see it the way you see it. That's fine. Come to an understanding of what it is, right? And apply it. Whatever the Lord would have you to apply. You have to come to this interpretation, employing, right, principles, interpretive principles, but really it begins with what? You got to study the Bible. Our theme verse last year was what? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So number two, we search the Scripture. Number two, we supplicate or we pray in the Spirit. Praise God that as a believer, the Spirit of God, the author of Scripture, right, who is divinely inspired Scripture, dwells in us. The author, the Spirit of God, who led Paul to write the things he wrote, to talk about the spiritual things, wants us as believers to know all things. Go to 1 John chapter 2. He does not desire that we are ignorant. And so as we pray, we can pray with confidence, Lord, give me wisdom, Holy Spirit of God, enlighten the eyes of my understanding to know your will in this matter. And in verse number chapter 2, verse 20, he says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye what? Know all things. Right? What is the context here in 1 John chapter 2? It's this spirit of discernment. To know the truth, to know right versus wrong. Right? And he says, right, in verse number 20, he says, I've not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. He says, you can know the truth, and you have the Spirit of God. He is a spirit of discernment, and you can have the Spirit of God demonstrate to you and reveal to you the truth about yourself, about your gift from the Word of God. Number three, the third step, you say, well, okay, I'm going to search the Scriptures. I'm to pray. All right, that seems pretty routine. Well, number three, you should serve in your church. Serve in your church. You know, to know one's spiritual truth is not an effort taken in isolation. Right? You go and you lock yourself in your bedroom and say, I'm not coming out until I know my spiritual truth. No. I believe that discovery will come through service. We're saved to serve. And this service occurs in the church. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. We looked at this already, but just to look at it again. What does Peter say? He says, as every man hath received the gift, even so, what does it say? Minister the same one to another as what? Good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Minister the same one to another. Well, what happens as we serve? I think quite often, others will recognize your gift. Help confirm it. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, I see it. I see right there are these obvious signs that this is your gift. And praise God, He puts us in a church, and hopefully, right, a church with people with that know their Bibles, that have discernment, that are, right, spiritual people, that are looking to the Spirit of God for His enlightenment. And so really, it's by design, God has intended for us to discover this gift as we are active in our church. See, it's not to be you. See, God didn't give you your gift for you to go and make money off of it. Right? He gave it so that you might serve in His assembly, His body, His church. Well, what better way to discover it but to be busy serving, right, participating, working within this body? But number four, and this may be a little harder to understand, but I'll try to explain it. Have you ever fluctuated between the gifts? Well, maybe I'm this, maybe I'm this. I think what will happen is it really does seem, and this is just my opinion, and you could come away with a different thought here, but there's really almost a scale, right? You think about, if you look at prophecy, that's a very forthright type of gift. But then the last gift is what? Mercy. Very compassionate. Now, this is just my thinking. I'm just going to put this out here, and it would seem that this might be helpful in discovering the gift, all right? You can look at your gift and say, you know, I tend to be more compassionate than forthright. Right? You find yourself trending toward the other side of that spectrum. It's one of those things where you could actually say, well, maybe, okay, do I have the gift of ruling or giving or mercy? You say, well, man, there's two. I just can't figure it out. They seem like the characteristics I have, they spill over into each other. Again, you'll focus. I think you'll begin to discover your gift focus. Right? Is it ruling? Is it giving? And you'll find yourself tending to that what? Administration, right? That ability to administrate, to rule. Or maybe give, right? This concern about how are things being handled, right? This ability to be very focused on giving and blessing those who are in great need. And you'll find over time, and I'm not saying this is going to happen overnight. Pastor, I want to know right now. I think as you get busy serving, God begins to give you wisdom, and you begin to discover. And it's only because, not so that we can go around saying, well, I have the gift of this. I don't think that's the purpose. It's sort of like the Corinthians. It was very carnal, right? Well, I'm a ruler. You better listen to me. No, it's so that we might know where we fit, how we might best serve. And when we, right, happen upon that, and we come to understand that, right, then we'll find, okay, God, You've placed me in this assembly with this gift of mercy. Lord, I'm looking for opportunities to exercise this gift. And I think the Lord will provide them. So let's look at this last few things. And I want to, it's really neat, though. I think as you seek to implement your gift, you'll experience the joy of the Lord. I think what will happen is I think you'll return to the source of that joy. Right? You'll enjoy what you do. You'll be blessed. Because you're using the gift God has given you, and you're like, I want more of that. That's a blessing. I enjoyed that. I don't know about you, I'm not big on repeating the things I don't enjoy. Amen? You know, I don't really enjoy school, right? So I was going through an old file cabinet, and man, I forgot how many papers I wrote for school, and I'm like, ugh, I did not enjoy that. Now, I'll do it because I think training and learning is something that's valuable and important. But, you know, there are certain things I really enjoy. And I think as a person who understands their gift, right, you look for the opportunities where you get to experience and use that gift, and it brings joy, joy from the Lord. He said, well, what about, you know, should I just ignore all the other things? I believe in a mature believer will want to improve in all seven areas of the gifts. I think someone who has a gift of teaching will want to seek to be more merciful. I think that's why if you go back to the characteristics, you could really apply them to every believer. Right? Go back to Romans chapter 12. Right? Or any of these things like, you know, well, I don't need to do that. I don't need to be kindly affectionate one to another. I don't need to in honor prefer one another. Yeah, slothful in business, I can do that. I can be slothful in business because that's not my gift. No, I don't think. And that's where making a hard and fast correlation between the gifts and their you know, expanded characteristics may not be the best choice. But rather looking and saying, you know, these are all things, all characteristics that I should seek to have and desire to have. And so if I'm a teacher, you know, looking to improve and be more merciful, a ruler, right? To avoid being lazy, right? Seeking to serve, right? To meet the needs and to simply do that which is somewhat unnoticed. Not always needing to be the one in charge. One with that gift of prophecy, challenge to give, or to be an exhorter. You know, not just verbally punch people in the face, but be an encouragement. You know, come alongside, right, in that idea. What a blessing to be able to grow in all of these characteristics, even though we have the one gift to grow. And I don't know. I don't know what to think about this, but it would seem that as you mature as a Christian, it becomes even harder for others to identify your gift. Because the characteristics of all the gifts, right, you're manifesting them. When you need to speak forthrightly, right, and exercise what would seem to be the gift of prophecy, even though you don't have it, you speak the truth. In love, right? And so, you know, people look and say, well, you have the gift of prophecy. Well, not really, but I've matured and the Lord has matured me and grown me and given me grace, right? And I can demonstrate, right, these expanded characteristics. But let's look at what is the Lord's requirements, just in the way of final thoughts here. What are the Lord's requirements and what is our responsibility? I'm just going to go, like I said, number one, we already looked at this. A Christian, I believe, must discover their spiritual gift. And we find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that Paul did not want the believers in Corinth to be ignorant of spiritual things. Gifts, operations, and administrations, right? Understand how they fit together and how God intended for the gifts to be used. Number two, they are to be implemented in the local church. This is a stewardship responsibility. Right? God has given me something that I need to be a good steward of. We often think of stewardship as it relates to money. Certainly, that's probably the most tangible way to think of stewardship, right? I'm given a certain amount of money. I need to use it. It doesn't belong to me, but it is my responsibility to use it wisely or in what, right, as the owner of the money would have it to be used, right? That's what a good steward does. Responsible stewardship. Well, you know what? The gifts were given, same thing. They were given to me by the grace of God. I need to use them and be a good steward of the talent that God has given me. Number three, I believe the Lord's requirement is that a Christian must recognize their gifts, the gifts of others, for, and don't get turned aside by this word, full body complementation. Meaning, right, complementarism, you ever heard of that, right? Like a husband has a role, wife has a role, and when they, right, seek to fulfill the God-given roles, they actually work really well together. And in the same way, as believers in a New Testament church seek to know their gifts and exercise their gifts as they understand them by the grace of God, what does God do? God brings the body together to work together in a, right, optimal way. Number four, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. as stewards, we will be judged according to that faithful exercise of our gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you would, look at verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. The Scripture says here, "For their foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now, he's speaking to believers, right? He's saying, you know what? We've laid the foundation of Jesus Christ in your life, Church of Corinth. Now, if any man, right, if they come along and they begin to build upon this foundation of Jesus Christ, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by what? Fire. Now, he goes on to describe what? That we, our bodies, are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and that we are to use and to treat our bodies as such, and that we will be held accountable as believers for how we live our lives. Right? He says in verse number 16, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? The Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in his own craftiness. Again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are in vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours." Right? He's saying, listen, we have a responsibility to God. And so submit yourself to what the world calls foolishness, but God calls wisdom. And recognize that we will be held to account for how we live our lives, how we use our talents. And Jesus taught that in the Gospels, did He not? Right? The talents are handed out. He's coming back, and He's going to examine, what did we do with our talents? You say, well, I'm going to go hide mine. I'm not really going to develop it. I'm not really going to use it. The Lord gave a pretty stinging rebuke to that one. He said, oh, foolish servant, wicked servant, in fact, right? I don't want to be called a wicked servant. I want to be faithful in that sense. Number two, what is our responsibility then? If these are His requirements, what is our responsibility? Well, it goes back, just again, what I already covered. Number one, you must study. We must study the Bible for a consistent interpretation of gifts. And that's the challenge, is finding a consistent interpretation. One that actually, right, fits and lines up. Number two, we are to supplicate or to pray for the Lord's guidance, right? And we are to ask God, God, specifically, I need Your direction. I need Your guidance, right? In all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. Jesus said to the disciples that when the Holy Spirit has come, He will guide you into all truth. And praise God that we have that work of the Holy Spirit taking place in our lives. Number three, we are responsible to serve in our local church for private and public confirmation. Not only will you, I think, through service begin to understand, but your brothers and sisters will also give you some confirmation. Number four, our responsibility is to seek that gift focus and to recognize the gift by determined effort, not simply by default. Right? And you can look at Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. So, in that sense, right, focusing and recognizing the gift through that effort, well, how does that effort come about? Number one, a believer, and this is not in your notes, the believer needs to work on improving their gift through prayer, biblical guidance, and implementation. Once I know it, I ought to continue to grow it. Right? Does that make sense? Once I've understood, okay, my gift, I believe God has given me the gift of exhortation. Well, how do I become a better encourager? How do I become one that, right, speaks the truth, but speaks it in a way that edifies, that encourages, that brings people along? And I do that through what? Prayer, the guidance of the Word of God, and simple practice. Number two, and this is really a lot of it, and you say, well, Pastor, you know that dying to self. What does that look like? Well, it's first of all reckoning yourself to be dead. Like you're already crucified with Christ. But it's just like with the gift too. It's Romans chapter 6. It's the idea that every day and throughout the day, I'm making a choice to yield. And I'm excited that I think about that. Yield. He says, yield your members as instruments of right. Don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves unto God. And in the gift, right, it's that, okay, this gift, God, you've given me, I want to yield it to your use. I want to consciously make the choice when faced with a decision. Okay, how am I going to use this? How am I going to respond? And the Lord does He not, place these situations into our lives and then force us to make a choice whether or not we're going to yield ourselves, right, to His direction, to His control, or to what? The control of our flesh. Same thing with the gifts. Right? As I implement this gift, okay, Lord, I'm yielded to You. I don't want to perform or act in a way that is contrary to Your Word. I don't want to act in a way that is fleshly. I want to be Spirit-led. I want to walk in the Spirit, like He says in Galatians chapter 5. I don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh. We pick on the prophet a lot, right? Because their gift is, it can be pretty hard, right? Where, you know, a prophet can really be someone who stands for the truth and stands for the right, but they can also be really hard on people. Harsh. And so it's saying, you know what? Lord, help me to yield to Your Spirit in my attitude, in the proper use of this gift, so that it is pleasing to You and it is a blessing to those that You have put me to minister to. You say, well, Pastor, you still didn't answer what gift I have. I gave you the process. Search the Scriptures. Come to an understanding. Be a Berean. Search the Scriptures. Make sure that what we've taught, that, you know what, you conclude this is really what I believe. Don't just take what I've said at face value. Boy, don't ever do that. I've been wrong enough times. I can promise you. Search the Scriptures. Right? Come to an understanding. And you may even differ with me in some things. That's okay. But come to an understanding of what God means us to understand by the gifts, and then begin to pray, Lord, open the eyes of my understanding. Help me to know, help me to understand Your Word and properly apply this in my life. And then get busy, as God allows and directs, serving in your local church. As God gives you and moves you, take the opportunities to serve Him. And then in doing that, you know what? Look. You know, pastor asked me to teach a class. Did not like that. I don't think I have the gift of teaching, right? Pastor asked me to be in charge of a banquet. Yeah, I'd rather be washing the dishes at the banquet, right? Do you see how you can determine, right? Pastor asked me to encourage, and man, I sort of wasn't very encouraging. I just told him the truth and gave him a piece of my mind. You see? Like, yeah, maybe I do have a tendency to be more forthright. And then you're able to actually, like, right, narrow it down as you serve, as you implement, as you practice. And thank God, He's so merciful and kind. You say, well, when do I need to know? When the Lord shows you. Don't stress out about it. Just be aware and be open to, as God, right, gives you that understanding. Say, Lord, just in Your time, show me. I'm just going to faithfully serve You and ask for wisdom. Truth of it is, I think, you know, you could go and not know your gift and still serve. But what a blessing to know and be able to really, right, be in those roles, right, those administrations where you are using your gift most effectively, your talent, right? And saying, you know what, here's the talent. I've gained 10 more. Because I've known how to use my gift for the Lord. All right. Let me stop there. Any questions on what I've said tonight? Or even in the past weeks? I'll do my best to try to answer it if I know or I can. Yes, Sister Liz? No, I think that you begin to manifest, right? Not that have the gift itself, right? But, for example, I think a mature Christian will be someone who speaks the truth in love to people and may not have the gift of prophecy, may not have that, right? But, for example, not that I'm a super mature Christian, but part of my role requires that I tell the truth to people and I speak the truth in love. It doesn't mean I don't have the gift of prophecy, I don't believe. Yeah, I think it's a great point. If I have to go and deal with sin in the church, I do not, I dread it. No. I do it because I'm supposed to do it, and it's the right thing to do. But if you said, hey, pastor, would you rather go and, deal with Brother Zach's, sin? Or come alongside Brother Rob and just be an encouragement to him? I'm going to take being encouragement every day. Yeah, because I believe my joy is exhortation. So in a practical sense, I don't know if that demonstrates what I mean. But I will, if the Lord wants me to, I will speak truth in love by the grace of God. But even sometimes when I'm not yielded to the flesh, I can be pretty harsh. So again, it's yielding yourself to the Spirit of God and letting Him, right, lead and guide you and control the mouth, the heart, the thoughts. And you'll be in that consistent place of yielding. I don't know if that answers the question. Sorry to use myself as an example, but it's easier to think that way. Brother Zach? I'm curious, sir. Are you talking about yourself? I'm wondering, are they side by side? Yeah, if you look at it on as they're listed, not that that's a whole lot of water there, but I think after teaching is exhortation. Okay. So I think what you do is you say, okay, well, Lord, I'm looking for opportunities to teach, and the other gift, I'm looking for opportunities, say, giving or mercy. And then just pray for wisdom. In the end, I want to be able to be merciful anyway. Even if I'm a teacher, I want to be merciful, right? I may not find my joy, right, in sitting and empathizing with someone for 6 or 7 hours about difficult things they're going through, right? With somebody with mercy, sometimes they'll do that. They'll just, they'll come alongside and they'll just empathize and be tenderhearted. But you could say, every time pastor gives me an opportunity to teach, I sort of dread it because it's, scary, but I enjoy it, right? And I want to do more of it. And so, maybe look at... Put yourself in the opportunities where you have, or put yourself in a place where you have the opportunity to do both. And then come away with, okay, well, Lord, what is it? Right? Yeah. Yeah. It's a hard one, I'll be honest. And it's something I need to study out more. I see someone with giving, at least from what the Bible shows, is someone that does have, right, thoughts and a mind about money. They are very concerned, right, about how money is used, how it is spent. I think they also tend to see needs, right, where not just money, but things need to be given, right? And they're very focused on getting people those resources that they need. Is the positive aspects of it. You could also look at the negative aspects, right, that we talked about. Right. Right. Yeah, I'm going to do this for you now. Expect something in return. Yeah. 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 Expecting something in response. Yeah, that's good, brother. I think it would be a great study. I need to personally study the gift of giving more. I don't feel like I have a solid grasp of it, to be honest. So it's a good question, though, brother. Anybody else? Any other questions? Left side here. All right. Elizabeth, did that answer your question from last week? Kind of. Okay. Where do you still feel like you're not certain? Okay. All right. Brother Rob, you had some questions. Did they answer yours? Yeah. Amen. I think just and allow, you know, Lord, give me wisdom. Search the Scriptures. Come to a thorough understanding of the gifts yourself. Right? And then just begin to serve. Yeah. Right. And I think it's looking at gifts, they're not really ever meant to be in isolation. Right? And so my determining of what my gift is only allows me to be a more, right? I don't know if the word efficient is the right word, but a more, right, complete part of my church. Sort of completes the puzzle for our church. I do wonder, and just as my opinion, if the Lord doesn't place the people into the body, right, with specific gifts, knowing that. And really, the church then takes on the character of the people that's in it, the gifts that they have. But just my thought. Liz, you had a hand up. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. The answer to the question is, it would seem, through the language used, that there's one gift given, right? And I think in all of those areas, we can either be yielded to the Spirit or to the flesh, right? I mean, if I'm being stingy and not very caring and not very giving, I'm just simply walking in the flesh and not yielded to the Spirit. It may not be because that's my gift. It's just that the opportunity has presented itself and I don't deal with it. So, Elizabeth? Yes, I believe so. I believe there's a joy. I think I've heard people refer to it as a motivational gift. You know, one that, you know, I come away, right? And I find myself motivated in the exercise of that. Because I have that ability, or I've been given that talent, right? So I think, like Brother Zach talked about giving, I think you'd be motivated, looking for opportunities to bless and to give, and to use the resources that God has given you or that has given the church to bless others. Versus, if I'm a teacher, I'm looking for those opportunities to teach. I'm really, really motivated, encouraged, right, to do those things. Because, again, the idea of operations. The Spirit of God empowers, as I'm yielded to the Spirit of God, He empowers me with that gift, right? And I see Him work through that. So, any other questions? Left side, you're very quiet. Yeah, Christy? But not all of them are. Or do laundry, right? He could view it that way as well. I think there's some ambiguity. I think, again, it's, Lord, give me wisdom and give me direction. And I think we have to be careful not to go beyond Scripture, too. And hopefully I've tried to do a good job of explaining where my opinion is and where the Scripture is. And so I think there's some of this is, Lord, just give me guidance and direction. And when you're ready for me to understand and know my gift, then you'll show me. I'm just going to be faithful to be, right, serving and praying and studying, right, until that comes. So, all right. Well, if you have more questions, I'm glad to answer them if I know the answer. or if I don't, I'll tell you.